The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
All right, the president's going to increase tariffs to $200 billion more in Chinese imports. And it has manufacturers worried. The Dow down 2 and some 2 1/3% today as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is even the now the chief economic advisor to the president has to admit that this is going to be passed along to the consumers, not necessarily good for the American economy. But the president, speaking from the Oval Office today with some other world leader who looks scared to be sitting there with him, said, hey, if you're in the United States,
open your division or open up your product, have it made in this country as opposed to made in China. Or if you don't want to do that, and that would be the ideal, that's what it used to be a long time ago, when we were smart, when we had an economy that was really something very special.
Well, didn't you just say this is the very special economy? And why then did you make your ties in China? Right? The Trump wear was all made in China. Half of Ivanka's stuff is made in China and Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why?
Ivanka was made in China.
Yes!
No, I don't know that.
I think that's true, though. She does appear to be something out of Westworld, that is for sure. I think part of it was made in Miami.
She does have a robot vibe.
So what, come on. Seriously? I mean, I don't think I'm an idiot. I might be, but I don't think so. I get that the Chinese have been stealing intellectual property. They've been cheating on their trade deals anyway. I get all that. It's got to stop.
Right.
But punishing us with tariffs is not the way to do it. There are other ways to do it.
What's worked, though, so far?
Nothing.
That's the issue.
I mean, the other way, I mean, if he really wants to get, but this idea that a tariff is going to crush them is, he will not have the president at the end of the day, he does talk a big game, tough guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he gives in a lot. And my sense is that he gave in before, right? Remember when he closed down the government? I'm giving in. And then it was like, oh, okay, I quit. When it didn't work for him. And you're going to see the same thing happen here.
Well, you see, China will feel that weakness. And I'm not sure that works out well for us either, to sort of make the big play and
China doesn't
talk
care.
The big talk and then say, okay, we're just kidding. We're going to go back to it.
Xi is president for life. He doesn't care. He's got the rest of his life to worry about.
Play on
this.
The weakness is the point I'm making.
Right. But if there's pain on in his economy, he does not care. I mean, they are strategic. And all he's trying to do is get them to stop the intellectual property. We got bigger problems with them, right? In the Middle East and East Africa and other places where they are, very, very, very involved. South America now. Think they're going to build Venezuela as a new China South?
Gee.
China West. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Howard Stern believes that he made Donald Trump. And I don't think he's wrong about that. I remember many a time Howard Stern talking to Donald Trump, sometimes while Donald Trump was in bed with Melania. And then he'd put Melania on the phone to talk about what a great lover he was.
Howard Stern was the best at that, getting people to admit and talk about the kinds of things you would never admit or talk about in any other interview.
Right.
And I guess it had the opportunity to make you more human. I think it also...
Well, Donald Trump didn't care about that. He just wanted to be famous. Back then, this is years ago, right? He just wanted to be famous.
Headlines.
Right.
But wasn't he making a lot of headlines on his own?
Well, that's how he made headlines, was by doing stuff like this. And then, with Melania, I mean, you know, putting her through it. And she played along. Yes, Donald, the greatest lover ever had. Trust me, he's okay down there. It's like, this is so weird, man. It was just weird. So... here is what Howard Stern says today to George Stephanopoulos.
Do you feel that in some way you helped make him president?
Absolutely. Because Donald would come on my show. I mean, look.
Does it make you feel bad or good?
Well, look, I did not vote for Donald Trump. I go into great lengths in this book, and I think people will be interested in this. Hillary Clinton, you know, like in Moby Dick, I was chasing her. She was my obsession. I wanted to see Hillary Clinton win.
Wait till Trump finds out about this.
The turning point in my relationship with Donald was he did ask me to speak at the convention, and I had to say no. And
were you tempted at all?
Well, since I was a Hillary supporter, I thought, well, I'll go up and endorse Hillary, which would have been a great moment. He was always very nice to me. I've had dinner at Mar-a-Lago many times. And that's why I couldn't even believe that Donald really even wanted this all to work out for him. Because if you go to Mar-a-Lago, it's like a piece of heaven. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You're right. They didn't want to give up the Mar-a-Lago trips.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely true. I don't think he does. I don't think that Melania was crying the night of the election because of that, right? Because their life was really very good. And think of what she had to put up with to get that life. And this is now a moment of, you know, it's tough. Let's just face it. He's making this all up as he's going along, right? Even as the closest advisors say, well, you know, a lot of this is like, you know, sort of off the cuff. So,
well, the point he's making, too, is that he talked about how he's pro-abortion on the Howard Stern show. He also admitted that his attraction to his daughter. I mean, there were lots of things that came out there that became fodder against the president in a lot of ways, too. So I'm not sure he totally helped
with
his electability, but he certainly had very revealing interviews with the president.
We'll get to your 3, 2, 1. But first, Kim Gordon, what's going on in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Who would win the presidential election in Illinois if it were held today? A new poll has the answer.
Lawrence Traffic, brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Coming out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day, it's this Tuesday. That's tomorrow. You can see Tom Skilling, his presentation, followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available at whitesox.com/WGN.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Saturday Night Live, cold open. It was a riff on Meet the Press, in which Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Susan Collins were respectively asked, is there anything you would stop support, if there's anything the president did that would make you stop supporting him?
Robert Mueller testifies before Congress and says he believes Trump committed obstruction of justice. Do you still support him?
Well, we need a leader that's willing to do what he's got to do to win.
That's absolutely right. See, the best way to uphold the law is to be above it, Chuck.
What if he says Trump colluded with the Russians?
Well, I'd have to write a strongly worded email and send it straight to my draft folder.
Checking in at
number 2.
For one night, Bill Nye the Science Guy became Bill Nye the Uncensored Prophet of Doom, thanks to John Oliver. At the close of a comprehensive fact check debunking some of the myths about the Green New Deal on Sunday's Last Week with John Oliver, he introduced Nye for this demonstration.
Safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the f*** up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, mother f***.
Wow, that's amazing.
Different kind of science class.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. All right, and finally.
Number 1.
The song begins. You speak and I hear violence. It's magic.
Doris Day. The beautiful blonde whose sunny screen presence and silken singing voice guaranteed box office and record charting hits from the 40s through the 60s has died. Born Doris Mary Ann Kappelhoff, the daughter of a Cincinnati music teacher and homemaker, the crystal-voiced pop soprano changed her name in the day when, as a teen, she began singing on the radio after appearances of big bands of Barney Rapp and Bob Crosby. She joined Les Brown's band and had her first hit with Sentimental Journey.
I gotta take that sentimental journey, sentimental journey home.
In 1959, she was paired for the first time with Rock Hudson in the racy romantic comedy Pillow Talk.
Hello?
Ma'am, this is Rex Stetson.
Oh, hello.
I hope I didn't wake you up.
Oh, not at all.
Well, I was just lying here thinking about your generous offer and all. And to call you in case there was anything I needed.
Uh-huh.
Well, I need to go out to dinner tomorrow night, and I sure would enjoy seeing a friendly face across the table. Of course, you're going to be busy tomorrow night.
Oh, no, I always keep tomorrow night open. I mean, I hadn't planned a thing. Oh, I'd love to have dinner with you.
Doris Day was 97.
The top five at five.